The conviction of Cardinal George Pell for child sexual abuse has reverberated around the world, shaking the foundations of the Catholic Church. Central to the case was the testimony of a man, now in his 30s, who was one of two choir boys sexually assaulted when he was 13 at St Patrick's Cathedral in Melbourne in 1996. The ABC's Louise Milligan has been following this case for some years, and tonight on Four Corners, she reveals the harrowing impact it's had on the family of the second choir boy, who later died from a heroin overdose long before this matter came to court. Louise Milligan joins me in the breakfast studio. Louise, welcome back to breakfast.
Morning, Fran.
In the end, this case came down to George Pell's word against the word of the surviving victim. One jury failed to reach a verdict. A second jury accepted his testimony. Can you tell us a little bit about the story, why the jury may have found his story so compelling, because no one else really much has heard it?
Yeah, so to be clear, I haven't heard it because it was held in camera.
So the jury's heard it, the judge has heard it.
And, the lawyers,
the
basically.
Lawyers
and George Pell presumably was in court as well. They are the only people. I don't speak for this young man. He is an intensely private person. And it is a very, very difficult mountain that he has climbed. And you can imagine how distressing everything is for him at the moment. But what I would say is, having met him, that I would defy anyone to meet him and to think that he is making this up. He has nothing to gain from this ordeal and everything to lose. And I believe that he is a truth teller, and so does that jury of 12. You know, they, beyond reasonable doubt, is a very high bar to get over in these historic cases where, you know, child abuse happens in secret. And he has managed to convince them that this happened.
George Pell maintains he's innocent, and he has lodged an appeal, so there will be an appeal to this. Tonight on Four Corners, those close to the case speak out, including the family of the former choir boy who died of a heroin overdose in 2014. So the two boys central to these claims and conviction of George Pell, one of them died in 2014. Let's take a little listen to a clip from the program tonight. I should note that the voices here have been altered, so we're not able to publicly identify these people.
Looking back, as a person, he changed. He did. He wasn't the same person as what he was beforehand. Yeah.
And it changed so much that his life really
kind of spiraled. Yeah.
It did spiral.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's the mother, and you also speak to the sister of one of the choir boys.
That was the sister actually
that
speaking
was the sister.
At the end. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So one of the two boys that George Pell is convicted of abusing. Can you tell us a bit more of the story of this young man?
This story is so tragic. So young boy gets a scholarship to St. Kevin's, a prestigious Catholic school, which he could never have otherwise afforded to go to because he can sing. He was very excited about that. He was a happy-go-lucky boy, according to his family. And we speak to another choir boy who was on the choir with him. And in the space of a year, he goes from this lovely young man to very withdrawn. He starts using heroin at the age of 14, and he's a heroin user for the rest of his life until he dies of an overdose at the age of 30. And, you know, his family, his mother actually asked him twice if, you know, he had been abused. She suspected it because they couldn't understand why he changed so much. They actually brought him to the psychiatric department at the Royal Children's Hospital in Melbourne because his personality had changed so much in the year after this abuse happened, the jury has found. And she did ask him about it, and he twice said no. And
he denied abuse.
Yes, but and some of the defenders of Cardinal Pell have sort of jumped on this and said, oh, well, he denied it.
Mm.
Point is, the Royal Commission into Institutional Responses to Child Abuse has found that it takes an average of 25.7 years for a survivor to disclose their abuse. He died 18 years after this happened. So, you know, he was well inside that average. They don't disclose. They're often asked over and over again. I've spoken to so many survivors in through my work with my book Cardinal about this issue. And, you know, they're embarrassed, they're ashamed, and they're hurting.
It was, I think, close to 20 years after that the man who got this conviction ultimately disclosed. Was what prompted him? Was he affected? Did he know of the death of this other young man?
Yes, he attended the funeral of this young man, and he was absolutely heartbroken. And it led to a crisis for him. He eventually went and told his mother, and she suggested that he go and see Broken Rights, Bernard Barrett from Broken Rights. And he, as it happens, he had two abusers in the Catholic Church, and the first priest was dead. So she told about that, and then he told about Pell. And Bernard said to him, you know, you shouldn't be telling me about this. You need to go to Task Force Sano at Victoria Police. And that's how it all got started.
Let's go to the police, because we are going to hear from the officer overseeing Victoria's police investigation into George Pell.
I should clarify, he oversaw this at the beginning. And so he's now not serving anymore.
Yep. I was just going to say in 2015. So Doug Smith, he's not serving anymore, but he's told Four Corners of the difficulties police had in getting cooperation from the church. Listen to that.
They were very difficult to deal with. They would say that they wanted to cooperate with the police in relation to all these allegations, and they were openly saying that they would cooperate. But I think you could almost say that the way that they classed their cooperation would be similar to a protester laying on the ground in the middle of the street, not resisting the police, but the police would have to pick that person up and drag them off the street.
That's a former police officer, Doug Smith. But the Victorian police really were relentless with this, weren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And I should say that Doug there is talking in the general about the Catholic Church. They're not specifically about
this case.
Yes, I mean, I guess the way that he told it to me, a whole lot of people started coming forward. And it was just a coincidence that they all came at the same time in 2015 from totally different places and talking about abuse at different times. And, you know, the police, George Pell was already on their radar, he says, because of the Royal Commission, because of earlier complaints that had been made. And so, you know, for them to get this conviction up, he says, is such a credit to them, because, you know, trying to prove things that happened so long ago is so hard, beyond reasonable doubt. It's really hard not to have a reasonable doubt when you've sort of got one person's word against another's. And that makes it really, really difficult for people to come forward. So yeah, the police should be congratulated for a very sober, careful, measured, you know, approach to all of this. They've done their work, their job.
Louise, thank you very much.
Thank
Louise
you.
Milligan. Thanks. Louise's story tonight, her program Guilty, the Conviction of Cardinal Pell, goes to air at Four Corners tonight at 8:30, of course, or any time on iView. And we should note there is an appeal underway. It's 8:25 on Breakfast.